Greetings in the light of the Most Radiant One. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. Tonight we're going to take another look at that wonderful prism of consciousness, and tonight's topic is the disappearance of the world. The end of the world is not its destruction, but its disappearance. The end of the world is the apocalypse, which means the revelation and the uncovering of the reality. So what is the world? Well, it's whatever you imagine it to be. The world is whatever you have projected in your moods, in your thoughts, in your understandings out of the separated self that it is. It is entirely the projection and creation of your mental state. Your mind projects the world you see, just like a movie projector projects a film on a blank screen. Therefore, the awakening to the reality of who you are as an eternal divine being, living and moving and having your existence within a ever-expanding divine consciousness that we call God, or awareness itself, or beingness, that causes that which has been the phenomenal attachments in time and space, being and becoming, to dissolve. Experientially, you don't leave because there's nothing to leave. There's nothing that you need to flee from or escape. You simply awaken and find yourself in perfect peace, in perfect bliss, or Ananda, as it's often called. It's entirely an inner state, just as the outer world of the ego's nightmare is an outer projection from the inner state of conscious focus. So you're entering into the kingdom of heaven, which is within, an inner state, becomes your experiential reality. And yeah, you go about your world and your life, but you have heaven within you. I often say, I'm having a party in my heart. And you feel like that. You feel a tremendous sense of joy and well-being, no matter what is happening with the stock market or the news or whatever's going on. And even if you happen to be in a place where suddenly you lose everything, which I have been in that state, I find that it doesn't move me much. Yeah, things come and things go. It's the nature of the phenomenal existence in the lower dimensions. But you realize that when things go, it simply means that you have an avenue for something new to enter your life. You have an opportunity to reinvent yourself, to restructure your life, to move, to do and have a different quality of experience in your life. I often wonder about people who live for generation after generation in the same house, in the same town, with the same relations and relationships. I've never experienced that, at least not in this lifetime. It seems like my whole life has been one of a cliffhanger and constantly being moved and shifted. I have moved so many times in my life, I think probably at least 50, 60, 70, maybe even 100 times I have physically changed my residence. I know that spiritually that's very, very good because it doesn't allow the familiar to contaminate the freshness of your consciousness. In fact, if you find yourself uprooted constantly and moving and shifting, you can write it in your book as a good thing because it enables you to have a variety of, let's say, brushes and impulses into your consciousness, which enables you to have a fresh experience of the self. We're in a consciousness zone in which we are experimenting in knowing self, knowing the nuances of self in all the varieties of possible contexts of experience and interactions and relationships. So this is why we're here, and we might as well enjoy it while we're in that process of awakening from the ego's nightmare. The ego's nightmare is the dream of death, imperilment, destruction, sin, guilt, judgment, vengeance, attack, blame, and shame. All of the things that cause us to deny our divinity are part of the ego's nightmare. As we awaken, we quietly lay those things aside, realizing that they don't have to be corrected, they just need to be left aside and lost sight of. You just ignore their presence and you focus on what is real. What is real? Who you are and what you are and where you are in highest truth. You are part and parcel of that which we call God, Source, Reality, the It of Itself, the All That Is. And that is something that nothing you can ever say, think, or do can change. You can only have a bad dream that it's changed. But you cannot change immortal love. And you are that eternal, immortal love that is all that is at the highest levels of beingness. So as you are in this world, you're in between worlds as you awaken from the nightmare. You go through that happy dream stage. And before you get into the really happy dream, which is the remembrance all the time that you are one with God, you go through a stage where you are still neither fish nor fowl. You're kind of half and half. You're in that borderline. I'm going to be reading a couple passages from a book that I found very helpful. It's called A Vast Illusion, Time According to A Course in Miracles by Dr. Kenneth Wapnick. I highly recommend it. And Jesus is saying that we are going back and forth. We are no longer wholly insane, however. In other words, he considers the ego thought system of blame and attack and vengeance to be one of insanity. Much like the analogy I gave last week where Sai Baba said that an angry person is like a dog growling and attacking his reflection in a mirror. So it's an insane behavior when you realize that there's only one in incarnation, and that is God, and that is divine, and that oneness is who you are, and yet you get very angry sometimes at that reflection that you think is another separate individual outside of yourself, which is a complete illusion. So anyway, he says we are like one who still hallucinates but lacks conviction in what he perceives. We're here in seemingly this time lag because Earth is in a time lag according to the spiritual forces that govern and guide us from higher levels. All of this has already been completed. It's a done deal. So we are having an experience of the past. And as we go back into the past, we go back into the ego's rationale for existence, which is predicated on the ego's fearful thought of separation, which then, of course, births the whole nightmare, which is one in which we are having this bad dream that we're separated from eternal good and eternal love. So time is for us to make another choice. And we realize all of a sudden that what seems to be real is not. And as this realization develops, we begin to have a sense that things are not the way they appear to be. So, for example, even if we get really angry, there's a part of us that's not quite as convinced as it once had been in the past that our anger is justified. I know I've experienced that in many, many cases where you're in the middle of a rant and it's like you sort of lose steam because you no longer have that firm conviction that it's worthwhile, and it's not. So this is the borderline or the borderland between the worlds, the bridge between the past and the present. Here the shadow of the past remains, but still a present light is dimly recognized. And once you see that light, kind of like when you see the light at the end of the tunnel, this light can never be forgotten. It must draw you from the past into the present where you really are. In highest truth, you've never left the heart of God. I say that over and over again. And then one day I realized, oh my gosh, I bet people don't have a clue what the heart of God is. This state is something that comes to all of us as we meditate, as we contemplate, as we go deeply into the inquiry of the self. It dawns on you quite naturally. And it comes to all people eventually in its own manner, in its own timing. Sai Baba says that there's two ways we can approach it. We can obey the commandments of God very faithfully, as a good religious person might do. And then God is quite pleased to reach down, as it were, and lift us up. This would be much like the action of the high self, gradually drawing the personality ego into a higher state of consciousness. And then you can take the path of deep inquiry into the self, and that process of meditation and personal sadhana or spiritual practice that enables you to have that realization. One would be the path of bhakti or the devotee. The other would be the path of the jnani or the one who is the seeker of wisdom. Both paths work very, very well. And it just depends on what your proclivity is as to which one you would choose. I've walked both of them. They both work. I advise you to follow whichever is the easiest for you at this time, and know that whichever path you adopt, the jnani ultimately becomes the devotee, and the devotee ultimately becomes the jnani, or the knower of wisdom. So anyway, at the borderline between the two worlds, we still hear the voice of the ego and have ego reactions to events. But we're also aware that there's something else in our minds, which is the loving presence of the Holy Spirit. We've all seen the drawing where you have the angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other. It's a cute metaphor for something that we all realize, that we have a voice of the negative self, the negative ego, the limited self, the false self, that counsels us in fear, negation, negativity, self-doubt, self-ridicule, the voice that tells you all the things that you can't do, be, and have. And the divine voice, the voice of the Holy Spirit, always counsels you that you are the beloved. You are the uniquely begotten Son of God. You are the child of God. You are the beloved of the Lord, and so forth and so on. So it's always an affirming voice when the Holy Spirit speaks. So now, as we are shifting from this borderland experience, we're beginning to question and doubt that voice that comes up every now and then, as it does periodically, reminding us of past guilt, reminding us of past transgressions, reminding us of failures, counseling us in limitation, lack, and negation. We're beginning to say, wait a cotton pick a minute. That's not my truth. That's not the truth I know in my heart of hearts. That's not what my heart counsels me at all. And you begin to learn to listen to the still small voice in your heart, which is the voice of the Divine Spirit. And that is the borderland experience that most of us are having now. And as we come to understand that the whole world is a dream, and that we're literally watching ourselves going through what we do each day. We see ourselves waking up in the morning, getting dressed, eating meals, having fights, feeling happy or peaceful or conflicted, doing our daily chores, whatever. And as we begin to experience the illusory nature of this world, we can never totally lose that sense again. We can try as hard as we can to deny it, but there is a part of us which, once it has seen through the ego shadows, will never be the same again. Once the light of this truth is seen, it serves as your anchor on the stormy seas, the seas of samsara, so called the seas of illusion, the ego seas. And it keeps us, this light keeps us anchored and keeps us from drifting off totally. Or to use another analogy of the sea, the truth beams in our minds like a lighthouse, calling us back from the ego's darkness of guilt and fear to the forgiveness and love of the Holy Spirit. So, as Jesus says, the shadow voices do not change the laws of time nor of eternity. They come from what is past and gone and do not hinder the true existence of here and now. The real world is the second part of the hallucination. that time and death are real. That's the major hallucination that we have, that we are mortal and at some point we're going to cease to exist. I think that's probably the most fundamental, deepest fear in everyone's heart is death. And yet Jesus very clearly says in the Course of Miracles that death is the central illusion from which all illusions spring. So that is the biggest nightmare and the biggest lie that the ego projects, is that somehow God is going to judge us and destroy us. And even the interpretation of the scriptures that gives that kind of an interpretation, according to Jesus, is the ego's interpretation and not what he had intended to have understood. In fact, Jesus has said that that is the reason he gave the Course of Miracles, was because we needed a celestial speed up, because the scriptures had been interpreted in terms of form, body, and ego. Remember, the body is always the ego's domain. The ego is always trying to defend the body, because that is the thought form that keeps it in a let's say, a quasi-life, where it can exert its influence through your lower mind and have a demi-life, if you will. So when we awaken, of course, the ego is disappears. It's vanquished. It disappears into the nothing that it always has been. And it knows that. It knows it will not survive the awakening. And remember, the ego is just a thought form. It's just a puff of it's a little dark cloud that floats around our radiance, just like the body. So as the truth dawns in our minds, we find that we escape from the past. If you realize that you only see the past, for example, you see someone coming that you've known for many years, let's say, automatically their history is projected upon them. You think you know them. You think you can expect how they're going to behave, what they're going to say, what your relationship will be with them. But that's not actually true, because we change every second. We're mutating and morphing into a different manifestation. We're never the same any 2 seconds. And yet the ego constantly tries to hold the past against us. Ah, yeah, but you did. Ah, yeah, but you said. It's always got that edge, that accusatory edge, that it's projecting onto the innocence of a completely pristine moment, which doesn't have to have any relevance to the past at all. It could be totally a different experience if we didn't continually project the past on our present moment. So this projecting of the past is what keeps it recycling. You know the old saying, there's nothing new under the sun and history repeats itself? It only repeats itself because we just keep expecting that past and projecting that past and looking for that past and trying to reinforce the ego's lie that that is a valid thing to hold on to, rather than being present in the love and the innocence of the moment. So the Course of Miracles and the teachings of Jesus in the Course of Miracles, it's constantly bringing us back to a truly holy instant, born of love, born of innocence, born of original innocence, in which the past plays no part whatsoever. And I suggest people who are drawn to study the Course to do that, because it will very quickly bring you into the principles of the fifth dimension that we all want to live in. And as Sai Baba has said, this consciousness shift that we're going through is not chronological. It has nothing to do really with time. It is in consciousness, and we decide the timing of when we move into the kingdom of heaven, which Jesus said 2,000 years ago, behold, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's always been available. It's within. It's a choice for love. It's a choice to be present in the innocent moment of the holy instant of now and not to keep projecting past grievance and past unforgiveness and past vengeance upon your other reflections in time and space. So this is the awakening stage that we're in right now on planet Earth. Now switching to a whole different time, a whole different thought system, I want to look briefly at the Mayan calendar and the transformation of consciousness by Dr. Carl Johan Kalaman. This is, again, a very excellent book. It's recently been published, in which he goes into the days and nights in the Dzogchen and the Mayan system, which really has to do not with the form and destructions of forms, but the transformation of consciousness. And what makes it so interesting is as you study the nights and the days and what energies affect the matriculation of consciousness through those cycles, you can trace every single thing that has happened in the historicity of mankind throughout the centuries. It's all in the Mayan calendar. So we are in, my beloveds, as of November the 24th, 2006, we entered into day 5. And on day 5, we went into the budding phase in which we had a breakthrough of new advanced forms of unifying, synthesizing, and manifesting galactic Christ consciousness. Well, we'll have to take that into ourselves individually to see how that manifested. It sure seemed to have been some keynotes in my life. But now, as of November the 19th, we have entered into the fifth night. So the day is a breakthrough, and then the night is a time when you experience the effects of that breakthrough in what happens then in the events. And right now it's really obvious that we're in a time where the old values and the new values are in conflict somewhat energetically. The different thought systems, the different cultural viewpoints, just about everywhere you look, you're going to find that polarization between the old and the new. And so this is the characterizations of what's called the fifth night. The fifth night will last until November 12, 2008. So we went into it November 19, 2007. We'll be in it until 2008. And this is a time of deep crisis for global materialistic paradigms and cultural values. And there's a destructive reaction to the new energy as it comes in. It makes the fur fly. It makes the tempers rise and the forces of the adversaries coming against whatever it is that's changing the status quo. It's also a time when there's the ups and downs in the financial arena. And if there would be a collapse in the finances, now would be the time. But the good news is this. This is the very last time, apparently, in the Mayan cycle when we're going to be going through such vivid acting out of the polarized forces. And bear in mind that there is no birth without a certain amount of labor. And this time has often been likened to the labor pains and the pulsations that issue forth the birth of a new system. And this is what we're in. And if we can look at it as the process of birth and cooperate with it and pray it through and support it with as much light as we can generate and share with our fellow brothers and sisters who are going through difficult times, whether we are or not, our brothers and sisters throughout the planet are in different areas going through very difficult times. So we are the ones that need to be the midwives. And then when it comes our turn, whenever that may be within this cycle, then hopefully there will be those that will also help us through the times as well. So the European Union and Germany, according to this Tolkien calendar, are very much involved as the center of this drama. And this is the period called the Armageddon, which again is not an all-out war, but it again is the same meaning as apocalypse, which means the uncovering. So the Armageddon we're faced with right now is the uncovering of the injustices and the inhumanities and the lack of equality that we have in the financial and in the dispersal of the good things of the world that need really to be available to all of the members of the global family. We all deserve to have the wherewithal for a decent quality of life. We all need to have the wherewithal to practice our religion without persecution and to have the quality of culture that works best for our particular nation and our particular peoples. So this is a time when this sort of thing is up for grabs and is being worked out. And it's the reaction to the breakthrough of the new and advanced form of unifying synthesis, which the previous cycle had quickened. And now it's letting that take its own shape and form. One of the ways that it takes that shape and form is bringing, for example, to the head this the tremendous acceleration of, the fight for oil and the increasing prices of oil is what's it going to do? Well, it's going to absolutely force us to go into different forms of energy. It's going to force us to go into new alternatives, shifting off of the petroleum and into the cleaner and more refined and more Aquarian forms of energy to power our vehicles and so forth. So the kerfuffle, if you would think of it as a kerfuffle, will be the sorting out of vested interests and their yielding to systems that will work for everyone instead of just the privileged few that make money, you know, doing whatever they do to keep the oil machinery going. So this is where you see the different things break down, but at the same time, the breaking down is good because it enables that new form to come up. And sometimes we won't change unless we're forced to, and this cycle that we're in is going to force us to change. We are heading for, ultimately, a second harmonic convergence, which will be May 27th, 2010. So we're right in that time when we're going through the fifth night, which will lead to the sixth day, the sixth night, and the seventh day. The seventh day culminates with October 28th, 2011, when we will be fully in that divine non-dual cosmic consciousness, and we will be in the fifth dimension. So whatever we have to go through now is a part of a divine plan. It's part of the shifting again from the nightmare of a world that's been ego-driven and ego-based to one that is divinely in attunement with the essential divinity of all life and its due respect that should be accorded to all life forms. It's a wonderful and exciting time. We are in the age where Sai Baba, in his work as a cosmic avatar, is greatly enhancing the awakening and the transforming of hearts and minds now. This is work that is being done on a subtle internal area that impacts everybody. Everybody on the planet is being accelerated in this movement back to true identification and true selfhood. It's not that we all go into the same state at the same time, because that kind of is not the way nature operates. But you have a certain vanguard that moves into that state of higher consciousness and then gradually sets the pace for the next matriculation to the next level and the next expression of life. I'm very excited with the things that I'm seeing, and again, I encourage everyone that when you hear, as you will, different negative prophecies and different fearful scenarios being projected. I mean, tonight I was watching CNN. I almost had to laugh. The crawl underneath was like your litany of Pandora's box, contents of Pandora's box, all the horrible things that could happen or have happened or potentially are going to happen. And I thought, oh my gosh, you know, that old lower mind, that old ego mind just never stops spawning things to be afraid of and to to suggest you have to prepare for. It's just part of the negative nature of a world that has fallen asleep and is having a very, very bad nightmare. So when you see things like that, just say, cancel. I cancel this negative prophecy, and I speak divine order, a highest good, and a perfect unfoldment for the good of all life on planet Earth. You can make up your own words, and depending on what you're looking at, but I do that every time an email comes across my desk, every time I see something on television. It's like, no, it doesn't have to be that way. As one of the planetary vanguards down here, I can say, you know what? I cancel that prophecy. It's not going to happen that way at all. It's going to have a divine outcome. It's going to have a good outcome. And begin to speak peace into the storms and peace into the sun and peace into all of the cycles of nature and all the devas. Begin to really realize the authority you have as a divine being to speak those higher programs and plans into light and life on the planet Earth. Speaking of the planet Earth, a good way to send the light is to get yourself one of those globes, and you can either have it on a table as a focus or in the center of a room if you're doing meditation, or you can put it on a table and put your hands on it and just send the light to the different countries and the different hemispheres of the planet and the different areas that you want to really direct your focus in your prayer. It's a very good visual for your prayer work. Another thing that in fact, let's just rise up in our spiritual bodies now. I want you to have a look at something with me. And just take a deep breath. And allow yourself to switch your viewpoint to being one where you're standing in space around the earth. And look down at the earth. And I want you to see all of the columns of light that have been anchored by light workers as they have done their traveling and have been conscious co-workers with God and have planted these columns of light. I think you'll be amazed at how many millions and millions of columns of light are all over this planet. And right now, we just ask and put your hands out, your palms out, and we ask that the light be sent for the highest good to each one of these columns of light to fortify, to amp them up, to increase their light and their strength. We also place columns of light in the areas of the world where there's not as many. You can do this as part of your individual light work. Where there's not very many people, that's where you need to really concentrate anchoring the light. This is keeping the planet very, very nicely balanced, and it's allowing for those higher dimensions to have a place to come down into. This is the anchoring of the higher dimension into the physical. You're bringing it down and integrating it, just like you do that through your own column of light that you call your life stream or your higher dimensional bodies. Same thing. You yourself are a column of light. Visualize yourself as a column of light. Very, very highest of the high, the very, very highest heavens. You extend as the light and the love and the divine image and similitude of Almighty God through your physical form. So we just send the light again to all the areas of the world where people are in any type of need or devastation. We just ask the Holy Spirit and the angels to direct our light and our love to each of those areas to sustain, to support, and to bring forth the awakening to the real. Thank you. Amen. So know that the peace of God is shining in you. That's such a wonderful affirmation. The peace of God is shining in me now. I am not a body. I am free. For I remain as God created me. Those are a couple statements from the Course in Miracles that I've used for many, many years. And they're wonderful things to suggest to your mind, to keep your mind focused on, to begin to replace the litany of negation that the ego voices try to suggest from your past. Just say deflect and move your awareness to the peace of God that is shining in you now. Remember that every time you forget your body, you feel blissful. Why do people meditate? Because they forget their bodies. Why do people drink and take drugs? Because they can forget their bodies. But those have only temporary effects, and it damages your body. So why do that? Why not choose to meditate and transcend that attachment to that thought form that you think is yourself? Do you know one day your body will disappear too? Just like the world, all of the forms will disappear into the love of God. Do you know that you do not need a physical body to be you? We've looked at the body already in terms of it being a field of ions, of being a thought form, of being, we've looked at it in many, many different ways. But tonight we're looking at it as if it is just a hallucination that we made up. Somehow we bought into this, what would you call it, hologram? I guess that's as good as any other. And we're simply awakening now to that unlimited self that has no age, it has no beginning and no ending, no birth, no death. It is completely impervious to every form of disease. It's in that state that you know in your deepest inner self is who and what you are. I think all of us know that. And as we're awakening, as this whole nightmare, this dream world that we've projected, as it begins to disappear, probably you're noticing, like I am, that your visual patterns are really, really shifting now. There are some days that I can see through things. I already told you some shows back, I was sitting and having my morning coffee, and all of a sudden I could look through my arm and see the table, right through my arm and hand. I wasn't in any meditative state. So what was that? What is this that all of a sudden, you know, sometimes if you sit and look at something without your eyes focused, look long enough, it will begin to go into a black and white negative kind of pattern, and then at some, like a photograph, and then at some point it'll blank out, it'll just disappear. I used to do that at my workshops. I used to raise the frequency of my body until it would disappear. And it was just something I did. I didn't try to do it. It was just sort of happened in the early workshops. And then I realized that I needed to teach other people how to do that too. So I put them in meditations where they would sit across from each other and they would look into each other's eyes just to see the divinity in each other's eyes. And sure enough, they would have that experience. At some point, the person sitting opposite them, you would see the past lives, first of all, just kind of appear over each person's face. And then you would see their faces go into black and white, like the negatives, the photographic images. And then at some point, they would just blank out, and you would only see the light. And I realized that when I got to that stage myself, I had disappeared, even though I felt like I was still sitting in the room. People would say that I totally vanished. And then when I would be in that state and I would try to see the people in the room, they would be completely vanished. So again, you see by reflection where you are. So when the people had vanished for me, then they had vanished. And then when my body had vanished for them, I had vanished. So again, what you see in time and space is actually what you're seeing from and through. So when you're in that divine state, you will tend to see that divine state in everyone else. And when you're in an ego state, you'll tend to notice the things of the ego. So again, be attentive to what you're noticing, what you're paying attention to, and what you're identifying with, and what you're making a big deal out of. Because whatever you make a big deal out of will make a big deal out of you. So don't feed the beast, feed the beauty. So the whole solar system and the whole universe and the galaxy, everything is shifting. Every planet is in scientific scrutiny right now because every planet has an aura. Every planet is changing in some way, including our sun. Our sun as a star is completely changing. It's doing things that they have never noticed the sun do before, probably because we don't have much history about the sun in this particular cycle of time anyway. But all of the planets are shifting and changing. They even say the moon is developing an atmosphere that's creating moss, that pretty soon it will be completely covered with forestation and will be the home of new animals and insect life. So everything is changing. The weather is changing because the sun is changing. And the change is all about moving into harmonic convergence and the unified field of divine consciousness and the fifth dimension. Oh, another thing I wanted to point out about the fourth dimension that we're all in right now in terms of the planet is that it's the convergence point of all unresolved timeline choices of the past. This is why you're seeing all of these opinions and thought forms and belief systems and prophecies, and everything's up there because everything that has been interpreted fearfully, unlovingly, in a judgmental way, in a negative way, in a vindictive or hateful way, all of that is stuck and has to be confronted before we can pass collectively into the fifth dimension. Now, if we can't pass collectively into the fifth dimension, then obviously those people who have gotten really embroiled in negative, unresolved issues are going to have to be relocated to places where they can continue working that out and resolving it, because only the loving is going to go into that fifth dimensional version of the Earth. So that's why we're seeing just this huge convergence of craziness right now on the planet. And if you're a very strong soul and you're self-realized and you're really centered in the truth of who you are, you can, you know, have at it and be involved in looking at all this stuff. And I have to do that for my work. I don't have much. Well, I do have a choice, but I choose to work with consciousness and to help people at this time. So obviously, I'm not insulated from all of this kind of input, but there again, I feel very resolved in who I am and what I am and very centered in that. So it doesn't seem to throw me off, but if it throws you off your bliss and your stride, then back off from it. And you know what? Laugh. Fall in love if you can. Be happy. Trust God. Know your needs are going to be met. Trust the divine plan, trust yourself, trust your process, and keep busy loving and serving others. You know, if you start to isolate, get off by yourself, or you're not giving of yourself, you're going to be an unhappy camper. So try to keep involved, even if you're in a wheelchair or you can't get out of the house, then have an active ministry online or over the telephone or however, but keep involved in people's lives. This is where you're going to find your joy, is in giving and serving to serving others. Be God's agents. Be those angels and those divine co-workers that walk the earth and make the world better for the people they encounter. Anchor columns of light wherever you are, and really be that living love and that example that the world is a safe and joyful and happy place, because in highest truth, the world that we live in is the heart of God. And that's what people need to know and see acted out through our lives. So happiness is union with God. So whenever you're not happy, look at what you've placed as a separation between yourself and the Beloved, and be happy. You know, Sai Baba always says, why fear when I am here? Why fear when I am here? We have the cosmic Christ avatar in our midst, who has promised us that he will get us safely into the golden age very, very soon, by 2011, just like the Mayan calendar, 2012. And the golden age is anchored as of last year. And it will be fully manifested, so we are gradually getting better and better and more light at the end of the tunnel. And pretty soon, we're going to completely go past that in-between state, and we're going to be fully, fully in that fifth-dimensional version of the Earth, which Sai Baba says will be totally one of peace and love. There will be no Third World War. There will be no atomic war. There will be absolutely no total wipeout, devastation, and Holocaust. None of that's going to happen. There will be planetary changes and shifts here and there, but he says nothing that we can't handle. We asked him years ago if California was going to have the big one and drop off into the ocean, and he said no. He said there will be a little shifting here and there, but nothing that we can't handle. So I found it interesting that he moved them, very many devotees from other places in the United States to Los Angeles in Southern California. We probably have more Sai Baba centers here than anywhere else on the planet. And I know it's to anchor the light and to make sure that we keep it intact, because California is really the third eye. She's the vision chakra for the planet. She is the one that sends forth the vision. And even though we send forth many, many messages from Hollywood and Los Angeles, basically, if you want to look at the truth of it, film is very educational and enables you to work through karmic situations so that you don't actually have to do them physically, much like being in the dream state. It enables you to sample different states of consciousness, and it enables you to also catch the vision, because usually the filmmakers will catch a vision maybe a year and a half to 2 years before it actually manifests in the physical. And so it has many, many good qualities. I am very pro-media, very pro-television and movies and anything that people can gain an experience and know themselves through watching the lives and the cause and effect that people set in motion by the choices they make. So it's a good thing. It's a very, very good thing. Use all things for your upliftment. Know that God loves all of its creation, because God is love, and God created all of us for one reason, to be his love returned, so that he could experience himself as love, or herself as love. And so this whole dance down here, I would like to suggest to you, is really, really an interesting time to be on the planet. Do engage yourself in being a great support to the people around you, particularly the people who are in areas that are having so many earth changes right now. Be a person that really, really puts yourself out in service, and see how much joy that's going to bring into your life. See how much beauty, how much fulfillment. It's the more we give ourselves away, the more we find the self. And just spend your life in loving and serving, and you will find yourself in the fifth dimension so fast, and that world around you has disappeared so fast, that you'll be truly in heaven. And that's the good news, is that we have the opportunity to choose heaven in the midst of devastation. I love so much, and I'm going to just remember this from my study, but there's a chapter in the back of the Course in Miracles that says, how will the world end? And it says the world will end in an illusion, since it is an illusion. But in highest truth, the world will end through joy because it's been a place of sorrow. It will end in laughter because it's been a place of despair. It will end in beauty because it's been a place of imperfection. And basically, it will end like I've described it, by disappearing into the real. So these are some of the good thoughts that I wanted to share with you this evening. I hope they inspired you and encouraged you. And remember, the disappearance of the world is what's taking place now, not its destruction, but its disappearance in the areas in which the ego has suggested that it is separate from good and love and God. So I send you again the blessings of the Ashtar Command. Perhaps you will understand a little bit more why we don't go into the end-time devastational kind of scenarios that many people are sharing. It's for the simple reason that that is not where we come from in the God realms that we have come from, the divine throne worlds. We actually come from the state of where the earth is headed, that place of divine love and goodwill and harmonious coexistence and cooperative joyous endeavor that has always been the vision of people who are seeking the real. So that's what we come to teach, to share, to reinforce, and to encourage you to hold sight of, even when it looks like the world is going through great duress. Sai Baba said that that is actually much like when you have a really bad storm at sea, and all of the flotsam and jetsam and the seaweed and stuff comes up on the surface, and it looks like it's quite a mess, but really, the storm has passed, the storm is over, the worst is over, and you're just seeing a little bit of what has been washed to the surface. And that's what we're seeing in the world today. It's not getting worse, it's not getting darker, it's simply everything has been stirred up, and it's being revealed for what's been under the surface. So again, the uncovering, the apocalypse, the Armageddon is the uncovering and the revelation of the real. So hold on to that as your thought for the week. And again, the peace of God is shining in me now. I am not a body. I am free, for I remain as God created me. And we'll go out with a Anai Hu chant. Deep breath. Anai Hu. Love and joy to all worlds, to all kingdoms of nature, to all beings, to all realms, and God evening to all.